Whenever you're ready.
This is the Hook Show, number 21, June 30th, 2006.
Attention, system involving humanized interstate self-help. Defloratation activated.
The Hook Show with Digital Dan.
Hookshow.blogspot.com.
Welcome to or welcome back to the Hook Show. If you want to comment, you can email us at hookshow@gmail.com. Or our comment line is 1-206-600-HOOK. That's 1-206-600-4665. But coming up today, basically our theme is rockets and guns, referring to what was going on this past weekend. And to talk about the rockets, I'm going to call up ASCII Adam on the phone, and then we'll have a conversation with him. Hey, welcome to the Hook Show, ASCII Adam.
Affirmative.
Okay. Before we start our conversation about the rocket challenge, I wanted to ask you about your video iPod and how you enjoy that, and just starting to listening to podcasts for pretty much the first time in the last couple of weeks.
Well, it's been about a month. Got a video iPod, the 30 gig black, got some engraving on the back, you know, from the wife. Pretty nice gift for my birthday. Got it a month early because I'm kind of impatient, you know. And then I watched some of that, started getting, you know, downloading some cartoons and stuff that's just really impractical. And, you know, I was downloading Happy Tree Friends, and I was downloading a vintage Tooncast and, Refrigerator. You know, I was watching some of that. Then I realized that there's a lot more practical stuff on there. There's the Make Magazine one.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites, too.
Video podcast. There's a few there that are actually pretty decent. There's one that I haven't really looked at entirely. Apparently there's one here on the Index Funds Advisors, the IFA, that I'm kind of intrigued with. But, yes, it's pretty good stuff. The problem that I see, at least with some of these things, is that it would be nice to control dimness or the dimmer or the backlight on the things to save $300. I watch the I have like the 15th and 16th season of The Simpsons, and sometimes and you watch like two or three episodes and then the whole battery's gone. That's kind of a bummer, though.
Are those some of your favorite podcasts that you have right now? Or which podcast do you listen to?
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, majority of them are investing type ones or ones that have to do with, where the market is going. One of them that I like that's actually pretty good is the, Wealth and Strategy. That's being my Optimer Navarro. Then I like the other one here. I also like the Online Trading Academy. That's a Vince Rowe radio show, but that one's not very, I don't know, it's very sporadic at best. Not on very often. So, those two are pretty good. I mean, they're probably the most practical. The other ones are, you know, the other investing ones are, I think they are based more on entertainment purposes than anything. You know, Mad Money Machine, the Doug Fabian, or Making Money with Doug Fabian is pretty good. You know, that's more of entertainment purposes. And, TFNN, the Tom O'Brien show. That's another one. It's just more for entertainment purposes.
But what's your favorite one by far?
The favorite one?
You better get this one right.
Better get this one right, yeah. I don't know, I mean, being a contributor to the Hook Show, it's a little biased, of course, towards that one. There's a lot more stuff that I can relate to. Not a huge into the podcast MN scene, but it's kind of cool to see some of the stuff that I experienced you know, then go onto the internet, you know, and then to be hearing my own voice and, you know, and experiencing these things that, you know, frankly, you don't really think anybody cares about it, but, you know, I mean, just recently, just today, actually, I got a response back on the video podcast. Right here, I had one. This guy, I don't even know, sent me one. Chris2006 sent me a comment on the video podcast on YouTube.
We're going to talk about that in just a little bit, but you brought up a good point. From the last couple of them that I've done, I did them on our podcast MN live event, and you heard those, right, Adam?
I haven't heard all of this is my latest one, though.
Yeah, I know those are pretty long, but I just wanted to try to keep the essence of the event together, and I actually got an email response from Alyssa from Crayot Radio, and she basically started off with, cool, this is... Let's try that again. This actually sounds much less distorted than the recordings from the Acadia. And then she also made a comment, it's too bad it's so hard to recreate the wall projections. So that was her comment about our podcast MN live event that we had. Also on the whole point of video podcasting and stuff, and a thread that I've been going on for a while on the Hook Show is Second Life. I know you're not necessarily into that, but I heard about this week. There's an actual Second Life video podcast right now that someone's creating. It's called Secrets of Second Life. So that's at secretsofsecondlife.com. It's a link in the show notes.
I might check that out. I don't know.
I don't know. If you're interested in Second Life or not, you can at least just check out a small video about it versus actually going into the whole system and exploring it that way. You might figure out some tips that way.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. It's kind of cool that definitely it's kind of cool that people respond to the stuff that you put up there. You know, it's just like living life, and then people respond to it. So that's kind of a cool thing. And I don't know. It's a podcast,
and
then maybe I gotta get more exposure to it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's just our local group that we have get together for things. They actually haven't announced the next meeting for July, but we'll probably get that announcement pretty soon. But that's not necessarily the main reason why I got you on the phone today, and that was basically about our rocket challenge that we had. I just want you to, talk about the rocket challenge. First off, describe some of the different rockets that we had out there.
Oh, yeah, it was kind of cool. We had, actually the original plan was to have every team make three rockets. And so we had, unfortunately, not everybody really did that. Basically, you had our older brother Matt and his family. He made a Pringles can rocket, but that rocket was pretty dang sweet. So you could kind of shrug away that he didn't make any other rockets because that was a really sweet rocket.
About how tall would you say that was?
That was eight Pringles cans long, and I'm thinking the Pringles can is probably about a foot long. So...
Oh, I didn't think it was 8 feet. It was more like 7 feet total.
Okay. All right, I'll say 7 feet. I mean, it seemed really intimidating, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I know. And then they had a couple of actual nose cone parts that they got from actual model rockets. And what did they power that one with again?
Oh yeah, they had two E motors, but I think they were E9s or something like that.
Yeah, those are like about the most powerful engines you can get without getting a special permits, right?
Well, they were the largest Estes motors that you can get. I believe you can get Aerotech motors. sororities, let's put it that way, or any, you know, rocket club would, you know, they would just not at all, you know, appreciate you, you know, slapping out a huge motor to something of that size, and then to have that not, I don't know, it seems like if something went wrong, it could really, you know, put a bad image on their, you know, on shooting off rockets in public parks, so it's a good thing that they do go with the e-motors, but the e-motors are just plenty, and they're a lot more affordable than the Aerotech motors.
Okay, moving on, what was the entry from, you know, the next group, the next team?
We're going to go with, we had a, another team. It was the Hiroshima Herald team, and or also, I think they also wanted to go with the Bulls.
I don't know.
Because they're, he's a fan of the Bulls.
Okay.
They're going to do you know, some rockets, but what they decided to do is just show up with one pre-made Estes rocket, and that was kind of disappointing.
And that was actually the rocket that they made for their grandson and would be our nephew. So basically, we would consider that a non-entry.
Yeah, that was definitely not an entry at all. They did have a good idea, though. They were thinking about getting a martini shaker and making that into a rocket, and that would be really sweet. But they decided to kind of wuss away from that one.
Yeah. And then it came to our team, rockets. Basically, we'll get into a story a little bit later about why we could only fire off a short amount of rockets, but describe your rockets, Adam.
All right. Well, I was pretty dang close. We were going to do it on the 17th, and I was like 90% done with all of my three rockets. In fact, I was at work in my cube job, and, you know, I was thinking, man, you know, I got all these extra Jones, Jolt, you know, aluminum cans, you know, just sitting around on my desk, and you know what, I think I'm going to make a rocket out of that. So I started sanding that thing down and put some foam around it. You can see that on the video podcast what it looks like. But that was a steel Talon, so I made four rockets. I had this Talon, which was six Jolt cans, sanded down, taped together, E9 engines. That thing would have been a monster to shoot off. And that had, would have had the same engines plus one as that Pringles monster. And that thing would just be just, that would have been just sweet to see. And there was the Red Bullet. And that thing weighed like 4 ounces or something. And it had three D12 engines. And the D12s were the same engines that was on the foam rocket and the wrapping paper rocket.
Yeah, I'll get to that one in a little
because
bit.
Because of the foam rocket, I had the one that was made out of a water noodle, or foam, and that was called the Bumble Bomber. And so that was foam, and it looked like a little bumblebee. And the Red Bullet, the one I spoke about previously, that had Red Bull soda containers is really what that was made from.
And then your wife made a really creative one that we weren't able to fire off.
Creative one, which I was really psyched about, which the wife kind of helped out, and that was Ballistic Betty. And we went to Michael's. We got a doll, you know, torso, and we foam under it. Then we put three 6 engines on it, and that would have had a parachute in which the head would have floated down by itself. That would have been a sweet one. It would have shot up, the head would have popped out and floated down. That would have been just awesome, and it's too bad we didn't get to shoot that one.
Okay, but the one that you did fire off was the Bubble Bomber.
The Bubble Bomber?
Yeah, actually, while we were trying to do the whole rocket challenge, I was also trying to take some live audio from the event, and actually, this is probably the main reason why I'm calling up Adam was because I wasn't able to actually do the recording. I was checking through that, and it just... I was having a problem with my iRiver, and it just kind of came out blank. So that's all I wanted Adam to actually describe some of the things that were going on the event. And you can also check out the video that he made. And links about that are in the show notes. But describe your Bumble Bomber.
I was going to say on the video real quick, I just want to say, you know, I did include some of the footage of the Ballistic Betty and the Steel Talon, so you can really appreciate what that looks like. The Bubble Bomber, that was a yellow water noodle, and you know, we wrote some, the wife wrote it, you know, Bubble Bomber on the side, and we put these, you know, this is foam. So it was just crazy lightweight, and so I was pretty proud that I found that at Walmart, you know, thinking, what is really light and really long so that we can meet, you know, one of the challenges we had. Three challenges for the rockets. We had the altitude, we had the size of it, or the height of the rocket, and then we had the creative category.
Yeah, I would actually nominate yours as probably the most interesting fired way that it flew up in the air, because it was made of such a pliable type material. It actually kind of wiggled around in the air, and then when it landed down, it also kind of bounced off the ground. So for the type of rocket that we were trying to make for the goals, that was probably one of the more creative ways that it was flying and it landing.
It was pretty cool how it took off, and you can really see it from the footage that she took again on the Olympus. But what's really neat is when you see it at that angle, it's really neat how the rocket itself actually buckled under the thrust of the engine. So it buckled, and then it kind of swerved a little bit to kind of correct itself, and then it went up. It sure did not go straight up. It definitely wiggled around quite a bit, you know, while it was going up. So that was kind of a cool little thing to see.
Yeah, and then for the rockets that I made, basically I did the same thing where I tried to make three different rockets to accomplish the different goals that we had. I made one out of basically a energy drink can, and I was just trying to make it as light as possible, and I put a D12 engine in there, so it would be a lot of thrust for a really light aircraft, similar to the idea that Adam had for his red bullet. For a creative one, similar to the Ballistic Betty one that Adam had, I made one where it had a Garfield stuffed animal that I got years ago. It was a small one. And then with a toilet paper tube, I basically crammed in two D12 engines, so it would have been a crazy amount of force for the weight, too. And then I put little fins on there, and I wrote Acme on it. So it was basically my little pun on any of those cartoons that you'd see, you know, similar to like a Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner type of parody, if you will. But the one that actually did fire off for the height category that we're going for was basically a wrapping paper. I took two wrapping paper tubes and I basically taped them together so I'd have, you know, the most amount of length, height I could get from the two tubes. And I actually wrapped it up in wrapping paper because I thought it was very fitting. Adam, can you describe how that fired?
That was really, let's say, it's hard to really state that in words. I mean, to be there, it was a rush of emotions. After watching those other two get shot off, there was very low expectations, let's put it that way. You know, the first one shoots off, you know, the first, you know, Pringles can, I believe they called it Pringles and Egg Rolls. So that goes up, and it's pretty ominous as it you know, goes over to its, you know, what do they call that, an apogee, and it starts heading downward towards, you know, people who are filming. You know, that was pretty ominous. You know, and then there was, you know, obviously the one that was totally not ominous, that water noodle. You know, if a water noodle was to hit you at terminal velocity, it sure would not hurt. It would probably tickle you. So, you know, nobody cared about that one. But what's intriguing is that wrapping paper one, just because of how dirty it was and how light it was and how very, let's put, sheen and sheer it was. And there's just very, very little friction in the air, and it's just, and the thing just orange, just incredibly, and frankly, my opinion,
I know. Actually, from the three rockets that we fired off, mine actually flew up the highest, and from the distance from the launching pad, if you will, that traveled probably a good, 30 yards or something like that? From where it got launched off.
Quite a ways away, and it was definitely kind of cool. When that thing landed, you could see it heading straight down, and it's hard for the video to really picture it, unless I rendered it on YouTube, and it was kind of a smaller quality, so I could fit the YouTube specs with the, how many megabytes of file is. But if you look at a high-res video of that, you can see it as it goes down, and it's just going down at just a crazy speed. And it just lands there, and it was totally cool, whereas, half of the rocket gets all bent up. You know, the thing was, I don't know how high it was, but, 4 or 5 feet high?
No, it was a good, probably about 5 feet high, something like that.
Yeah, and then it was really cool to see, 3 feet of it get all bent up, out of shape, when it lands. It was definitely cool. That was definitely a spectacle to behold. It was really cool. It probably had about three seconds in the clouds where you didn't even see it. That was pretty incredible, definitely compared to the other ones.
Okay, and then probably the most excitement that we had from that whole event was right after that. Can you describe about the neighbor?
Oh, yeah. The guy walking around with his baby, yeah. So we're getting all excited about seeing these rockets just, fall down to the ground or whatever. And we're just having a fun time. We spent, weeks planning for this thing and making these rockets, and we're all excited about it. And we're just having a great time. And obviously, we had a couple of beers beforehand, and, we're having some together, so we're having a great time. And apparently, so we run over to grab Ian's wrapping paper rocket, the green wrapping paper rocket, and we come back, and there's this guy making a stink, just complaining and whining, to our wife. Like, what, in our kids, right? I don't have a kid, but, they're just making, a stink to those people, and we're coming back, what the heck? What are you doing? So the guy just starts making a stink about how these rockets are falling to the ground and whatever. But, frankly, the fact of the matter is, put it this way. First of all, it was overcast. It was about to rain. So who the heck's going to be walking around a baseball field when it's about to rain? First of all.
Yeah, and actually, most importantly with that is, we knew about some of the rocket safety involved when making some of these, and you actually got the proper authorization to fire it off in that location.
Oh, yeah, we got authorization there, and you can see that in the video podcast, we made reference to that. And, we talked to the air traffic control tower. I called them up, and, they didn't have any problem with it. They were like, sure, whatever. Nobody cares. In the neighborhood that we were shooting off, people shoot off mortars all the time. Just projectile fireworks, which should be illegal in Minnesota, but nobody cares. So it's not a big concern. When it's about to rain, when it's in a baseball field, and you just assume you're walking around a baseball field, you get hit with baseballs. So what's the guy doing walking around a baseball field? It just doesn't make very much sense, The guy was making a huge stink, so I don't know. We, he was saying they was going to call the police, and apparently we, I stayed around for the police to show up and talk to the guy, try to talk some reason to him. The police officer said we should check with the fire marshal next time we launch it off. It's just absurd. There's no reference of that anywhere. That's protocol in which to fire off rockets to check with the fire marshal.
Yeah, I actually have some links to for rocket safety and some other information about model rockets, and from what I was looking through there, I didn't see any reference to making sure
there's no reference whatsoever. It's just think the guy, the officer was somewhat ignorant to, you know, what the protocols were. And he probably doesn't deal with these kind of problems very often. You know, but, I talked to the police, the guy was the police officer. I mean, he seemed pretty reasonable, and the guy, you know, after talking some sense to him and figuring out, hey, you know, we actually spent weeks planning this stuff out, making these rockets, and, you know, doing this thing and figuring out, you know, going through all these little avenues in order to get this, you know, the proper authorization to do it. And then the guy starts making a stink and threatening this and that, and starts talking to these other people who were around the park at the time walking their dogs, like, we don't want some kind of, you know, just an uprising against rockets in the park, because we just, you know, we don't want to, you know, be the, you know, the person who ruins it for the Cub Scouts or, you know, Cub Scout group or the, you know, the junior high, you know, after school club, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just packed up and left, and, you know, and got some police, and the guy eventually broke down, and he's all like, yeah, I'm the jerk, yeah, I really messed up, yeah, I'm the jerk, you know, like, he shouldn't call me, you know, and finally breaks down and admits that, you know, that he messed up, you know, the 12 people that showed up, I can't, 13 people or whatever, that were, you know, all of us that were shooting off rockets, this one dude ruins it for everybody.
Yeah, and then, you know, of course, I had my little one. And then, you know, so, I mean, we were definitely trying to be as safe as we could with, you know, the amount of firepower that we had with that, so.
Well, we were more than safe. I mean, obviously, to maybe some spectator or whatever, to give the guy the benefit of the doubt, yeah, it might look a little ominous seeing, you know, rockets, you know, fall down, but, I mean, we were paying attention. There was no, you know, there was no accidents about to happen. We're all looking around. Some of us had helmets on. You know, we all knew what was going on. You know, we looked around the park. You know, we'd shoot off the rockets, but, you know, we would pay attention to see if anybody was walking around the park at the time. So, you know, we would have yelled out, hey, watch out, if it was going to be landing anywhere, you know, towards anybody or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem like there was going to be a problem at all. At any rate, so we, you know, make a stink. We pack up our stuff. We just decide to, you know, head back. We just head back to my place. I plug in the camcorder to the Mac and or the G5 tower I have here, and we start watching the video as it uploads itself to iMovie, and, you know, it wasn't too bad.
Okay,
anyway, we'll probably have to reschedule the time that we shoot out the smaller rockets. We'll probably have to go, you know, farther away from the cities when we do that.
Yeah, because those are very small rockets that we have, like, with multiple engines. So those are just going to go crazy, and we're not sure what to expect with it, so.
But you know, that much power in that light of a rocket, and multiple engines. I mean, something, you know, something could happen. I mean, I'm thinking an aluminum can with three D12 engines. Each D12 engine is capable of producing 30 pounds of thrust. That's 90 pounds of thrust on an aluminum can fuselage. I don't know about you, but I don't know of any aluminum can that can handle 90 pounds of pressure.
But, Adam, you brought up the video podcast and how you were editing that. Describe that for a little bit.
Well, you know, that was actually pretty fairly simple. I mean, obviously I'm very partial to iMovie. I've worked with it quite a bit. You know, so it's pretty simple. I mean, I guess the most important thing is when you're putting it to iMovie or when you're putting it to, you know, any of these things, you know, Movie Maker or anything like that. The best thing to do is you upload all of it, and then you start breaking it down. You start adding labels to it, you know, and then once you add labels, then you essentially just kind of like drag and drop it on the videos that you think are appropriate, you know, time-wise. for the things, you start cropping them down. You know, you have a decent flow going, you know, carrying on a story. And then you add some soundtracks and some sound effects, and it works out pretty good.
All right. I have a link, and I actually have the full video that you made embedded into this post. So thank you for coming on the Hook Show, and talk to you soon.
Hey, you know what, real quick here, we should probably also put my link, my Frapper blog, because my Frapper blog is definitely worth looking at if somebody's looking around. That's the only blog that I really pay attention to. I really, update, so that'd be something to look at, too.
I'll make sure I put a link to that. Do you know what the URL for that is, real quick?
www.frapper.com/?@myfrapper @ID=1214809.
Okay, I'll just put a link in the show notes. But if any of you listeners out there haven't put your pin on the Hook Show Frapper map, that's frapper.com/hookshow, and you can put our put the pin on the map there. Did you put some pins up for the Rocket Challenge?
Yeah, put up where it would shot off at, yeah.
Okay, good.
I don't know what other pins I can really do.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you did that. Thanks for coming on, and I'm going to talk about the next part of my weekend. So I'll talk to you later, Adam.
Sounds good.
What's that?
Huh?
Oh, I was just going to go on to the next part.
You were?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you want to
hang up?
Oh, did you want to stay with me while I'm doing this?
Well, you know, if you don't mind, I was going to throw something out real quick. Can I do that?
You want to do what?
Can I throw something out?
Okay.
Something. You know, being that I do a lot of investment-type stuff, just wanted to throw out, hey, if anybody has a stock pick that they'd like me to check out, I'll do that. Except Matt, just email me. You know, it's the economy is kind of taking a downtrend right now. The FOMC, you know, I think it's at 5.25%, you know, as of this morning. So, you know, you have the inverse correlation with, gold prices and interest rates and all that. So, add a little bit of background, a little bit of studies, you know, in regards to this. So, email me, stock tips, whatever. You want me to analyze something? You want me to give you resistance support, Fibonacci retracements, anything like that? hookshow@adam@gmail.com.
Plus any video podcasts that people have for recommendations for you, all right?
That'd be fine, too. Video podcasts would be fine. Anything like that would be fine. You know, I'll check it out. I'll check out every email that I get, even if it's 100 emails.
All righty. Talk to you later, Al.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Hook Show. This is Alisa, the mistress of Creat. Check out Creat Radio at www.creatradio.net. Back to Dan.
And for the second part of the weekend, on Sunday night, we had a get-together with our church group where we actually went over to someone's house over in Lake Elmo, and we fired off some shotguns at clay pigeons. And to talk about the experience there, I have a audio comment from Low Tech Lynn. So check that out. And remember, if you want to give us a audio comment, you can call us up at 1-206-600-HOOK, 1-206-600-4665. Enjoy.
Hey, this is Low Tech Lynn. Calling to give you the lowdown on what happened on the Sunday group fellowship. We went over to the Brenda's house, and, the instructions were, ladies, bring your first aid kit. Gentlemen, bring your shotgun. For our family, though, it was more like, I'll bring the shotgun and Stan will hang out with the first aid kit. I brought along my 410, my 20-gauge, and my father's 12-gauge. So my father warned me that 12-gauge would kick not like a mule, but a well-groomed thoroughbred. So we never fired that one. And it was a lefty. Tim Brenda had his 12-gauge, which is a newer model. $1,300, semi-automatic, and he had his own ammunition. And then Natalie's husband brought his 12-gauge, and then there was, of course, my three. Dad and I purchased a case of 410 shells, 12-gauge shells, and 20-gauge shells. We ended up using up all of the 410 shells first. It was a lighter gun, kicked very little. A little bit longer in stock, but it was perfect gun for people who have never shot before. I fired a couple of them first. It's quite embarrassing because I only got one bird out of five. Next one up was, who was it? Derek, and he got a couple. His kids tried some of the leaf, and his wife, Rochelle, actually got out three shots. Dan showed off a little bit. Then it was on to the 12 gauge. Mr. Brenda's 12-gauge, a couple of shots with those. Got in a few rounds of 20-gauge. A gal from our church group named Sarah, I applaud her for her bravery. She fired the 20-gauge a couple of times, did all right. I tried out Mr. Brenda's 12-gauge. It does kick a little bit, but it did all right, and it was a lot of fun. We had, before the shooting, we had brats and burgers, and the kids played. It was an awesome, awesome time. Great fellowship. Got in a couple of good prayers for everybody. Hopefully all you listeners, perhaps next time you can come down and check out Cedar Valley Church. Look us up online. Check us out. Hope to see you next Sunday. This is Low Tech Lynn giving you lowdown. Bye now.
Alrighty, we got the lowdown from Low Tech Lynn there. It was quite the exciting weekend going from the Rocket Challenge all the way to shooting off guns over at someone's house at Clay Pigeons. In the show notes, I have a few different links to Wikipedia when they're talking about gun safety, and definitely if you are shooting off guns of any sort, you have to make sure you're safely doing that, along with talking about shotguns so that you have some information about the types that we're firing off and about shooting clay pigeons in general. So I have some links about some of those things in the show notes, so make sure you check that out. And if you have any comments to Lynn about shooting guns, she's really into that, you can email her at hookshowthe+sign Lynn@gmail.com or just hookshow@gmail.com and I'll make sure it gets to her. And coming up in the next show, it's going to be the 4th of July next weekend, so I'll probably have some sort of audio involved or maybe even just talking about our experiences from the 4th of July. So it's definitely going to be a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Music for the show is from Bubba Chill by Joe DJ, song Trans Central. Check out the website for show notes and links to everything that we talked to at hookshow.blogspot.com. See you next time. No vision can grasp human. I know something.